Well, in his goodness, God gives children as a gift and a blessing, and they are a reason for all of us to rejoice. And when one member rejoices, we all rejoice along with them. And today it is our pleasure to join with Edwin and Rosemary Tucker in celebrating this precious child, Therese Emmanuel Tucker, praying together to affirm God's love to them and to thank God for his blessing and for his presence with Tyrese as he grows throughout his life. As Christians, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. A parent not only has the awesome responsibility of caring for this treasured gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift that God has provided. Because children belong to God and are given to us by his grace, it is only proper and appropriate that we then dedicate our children back to God. We're told in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, we see that Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. And as we saw in the Bible reading that we just had, people were bringing their little children to Jesus in order to be blessed. And in the same way, Edwin and Rosemary, together with the godparents, Maple Tomlin, Sam Tucker, Susan Donaghy, and Glenn Tebble, will today bring Tyrese to be presented before the Lord our God. The responsibility of a godparent is one to be taken seriously. Godparent is to give their time to their godchild, to talk about the bigger questions of life. Questions about hope and faith and love, to model for them and to encourage them to develop Christian values of being kind, of being compassionate towards other people, to be generous towards others that are in need, to stand up against things in this world that cause injustice and suffering. The godparent has the responsibility to pray for their godchild through all of the ups and downs of life, to show them practically how they can make good choices for themselves and for others, to help them to learn about the Christian faith, to go to church with them, to talk with them about what the Bible says, to show them how to live and how to relate to Jesus Christ. It's a demanding role for a godparent. It's not one that is to be taken lightly. But it is a role that is undertaken in the knowledge that the church is there to help and to support, and that God will bless you as you help your godchild. And so, parents and godparents, let me call your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So Edwin and Rosemary, love God with every ounce of your being, with every fiber of your being, and teach Tyrese to do the same. As you love God, you will be a model for him of the wonderful love that God has for you. So we're going to now pray together and rejoice over this young life, recognizing our dependence upon our Creator and committing Tyrese to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if I could ask Edwin and Rosemary to come forward, together with the godparents, please, if you'd also come forward, and David, if I could ask you to come forward as well. Okay, if we all bow our heads and then we'll pray together. Father in heaven, today with Edwin and Rosemary and all of their family and the godparents, we rejoice at the life of Tyrese Emmanuel Tucker. Thank you, Father, for giving us him. Please guard and protect him from all of the dangers and all of the evils in this world. Please guide him and instruct him in the way that he is to go. May the Holy Spirit assure him of your presence and of your everlasting love and his place in your kingdom through the life, the death, the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. We pray specifically for Edwin and Rosemary and their extended family and the godparents that are here today, that you would bless them with the faith to raise Tyrese in the nurture and the admonition of Christ, so that he knows the gospel and that he will rest in your love and in your power. Father, we praise you for your faithfulness and love. We thank you for your protection and your care over families. Thank you that you give us the power to love well, the wisdom to lead and to teach our children. We know that you, Father, are for us, that you are our Redeemer, that you are our Restorer, and that you are our friend. We believe that you have good in store for Tyrese. Father, we confess that some days parenting is tough. Many days we can feel anxious and overwhelmed. We ask that you would make us more like you, more aware of your constant presence in our lives. Please help Edwin and Rosemary to release Tyrese to you so that you are free to fully accomplish all that you desire in and through him. Please fill their family with your love. Cover them with your favour. And now we pray this blessing over Tyrese today, and a blessing that we will pray over him every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And we pray all this in and through the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. To gather around for the front. Privilege, probably the greatest privilege of all, to have children and to watch them grow. And part of that privilege, probably the greatest part of that privilege, is to bring our children up into a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus. And at the outset of this sermon, I want to ask those of you that are parents, are you leaving a godly legacy for your home and for your children? Are you pointing your little ones towards the Lord? We should want to do everything that we can in order to point our children to Christ and treasure every moment that we have with them. Part of the Bible reading was from Psalm 127, where it tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord. And the word for heritage there also means a gift. In other words, our children are gifts to us from God. They are not ours to possess. They belong to the Lord. And we want to do everything that we can to point them towards God. They are not ours to be moulded, but rather to be unfolded, to discover the unique person that God has created. We are not to teach them to be dependent on ourselves for the rest of our lives, or even to teach them to be independent. We are to teach our children to be completely dependent upon God Himself. So let's come back to what the Bible says to us as parents and ask ourselves the question, is this something we're doing? Our key verse today will be Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Here it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." Now, in the footnote to the NIV, the translation that I'm using, it says parents. So this is not just referring to fathers. This is referring to mothers and fathers. They're included in what Paul is saying here. And I want to share some thoughts on this verse as a way of giving us some encouragement, but also to give us a challenge and also to give some instruction towards us as parents. It's a pretty short verse, but it's really packed with all kinds of information for us. It talks about something that we are to avoid right at the start. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. And that word exasperate has to do with anger. One translation says, don't provoke your children to anger. And that has to do with frustration. Now, it's not saying that your children will or never will respond to you in anger. That's going to be impossible as you go through life. When you love someone, you will sometimes have to tell them things that they don't want to hear. That means that on occasion you're going to get an angry response from them. But actually what? What the scripture is saying is something far worse than that. It means that it is possible for us as parents in general, but especially fathers, but parents in general, to create in their children a kind of settled anger, a disposition of being frustrated and resentful in a permanent way. He says it's very possible because of our parenting to raise angry children. Not that they won't sometimes get angry at us as parents, but if we're not parenting as we should, we can create a settled anger. Now, what can create that? Well, we can create that by showing favoritism, favouring one child over another. And so we say things, don't we, like, why can't you be like your older brother? Or why can't you be smart like your sister is? But we need to recognise that each child is a gift from God. Each one of them is unique and different. So don't favour one over the other. We can cause this resentment by neglecting them, just being too busy to spend any time with them. And we can also do it by never complimenting our children. A child needs approval and encouragement in the things that they do, just as much as they might need correction. So that's the negative that's being brought out from this verse. This is what we shouldn't do. Don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them to anger. But continuing in this verse, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." And so the word "instead" means, look, you're not going to do it this way. Instead, this is the way you're to do it. And Paul here gives us three principles for us in raising our children. He says, bring them up. That's the first. Then he says, train and instruct them. And then he says, it's of the Lord. three basic principles. Now, why do parents need to bring their children up? Well, it's because the natural tendency is to go down. Children inherit human nature that we've all got. You know, we all have that bent to behave in a certain way. In the book of Proverbs, it says that a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And you see so many cases where children are left to themselves where the parent isn't raising them. And if we're not raising our children, then somebody or something else will. Our culture will raise our children. The media will raise our children. Television will raise our children. Films will give our children their values. Music will give our children their morals. Their peers, maybe their teachers at school, are giving to them their belief system. But you know, that's not the way it should be. Parents should be doing that. And let me take it a step further and say that it's not the role of the church. The church is there to assist and to support a parent, but it is the parent's responsibility in order to bring a child up. And God holds parents accountable. God has commanded us as mums and dads to raise our children in the Lord. And the reason is, because even the sweetest child's inclination is to do wrong. It's hard to believe sometimes, but Scripture says we're born with that kind of nature. It's not a learned behaviour, it's more an inbred disposition. You know, I never had to sit down with my children and say to them, well, look, today I want to teach you how to be selfish. Repeat after me, mine. Well, they didn't need that. They were already saying it's mine. They were already acting in a selfish way. Now, of course, we're not just talking about good manners, although they're important. We're not just talking about performing well academically, although that's important too. But first and foremost, as parents, we are to point our children toward Jesus Christ. In his book, Shepherding a Child's Heart, Ted Tripp suggests that the child's heart is the smallest battlefield, and conquering it calls for hand-to-hand conflict. And that's true. Our child's heart is a battlefield where good and wrong and right and evil are in battle all the time. It is the world's smallest battlefield. And that's taking place inside our children right now. That's why our influence needs to be hands-on. It needs to be positive and not passive or laid back. But Paul goes on to say that we are to train and to instruct our children. There has to be a balance between the training and the instruction. The word train in the verse that we're looking at means to chastise, it means to discipline, it means firmness, it means enforcing boundaries. The fact of the matter is that just as much as our children need our hugs and our affirmation, they also need to know where the parameters are. And they need to know what the ramifications are for crossing those parameters. Now, Paul wasn't talking here about being cruel or being vindictive or having some kind of abusive discipline. That is always wrong and should always be condemned. But children need proper and appropriate discipline, because that's the way that we're going to be showing them love. Now, the second word here that's translated instruction is really the word for counselling. It has to do with dialogue and reasoning. It's to do with listening and persuading. So in disciplining, you're laying down the ground rules, but in counselling, you're listening, you're coaxing, you're loving, you're bringing them along in joy. And it's interesting that Paul says here that if you're going to keep your children from being exasperated, if you're going to keep them from being angry, you have to balance the two. You have to balance discipline and counselling. You see, a way you can create a resentful and a frustrated and an angry child is to be unbalanced. If you over-discipline, if you only discipline, if you have too many rules, then you're forgetting that your child is a human being made in the image of God and not just an animal to be trained. But on the other hand, if you only reason with your child, if you only dialogue with them and talk with them and try and persuade them and all of that sort of thing, then you can frustrate them just as much because you're forgetting that they're not yet adults. But very important to get the balance between the two. So the proper way to approach your child is to listen, to counsel, to show affection, to give clear verbal instructions, and to be consistent with the discipline that we give. And all of that is permeated by a loving tenderness. Now, for some people do well in one area but neglect the other. But if parents hold back the discipline, then the likelihood is that they're going to have indulged and spoiled children. And if parents hold back on the love and the affection and the tenderness, then they will end up with rebellious and resentful children. They'll be unsure of their parents' love. So the key in this is balance, keeping all of these things in their proper place. I recently read about an American pastor who went to help out at a correctional centre for juvenile offenders. These were young boys that had been sent to this place because they had repeatedly got into trouble. And the pastor was interested in asking these boys, why is it you've gone down this particular course? And he asked them to identify the problems that they had experienced with their parents. And he came up with a list of 10 principles that these boys told him. Things that they wished that their parents would have done. So here's the first one. They said, we would like our parents to keep cool. Don't fly off the handle every little thing that happens. Keep the lid on things when things are going wrong. Kids need to know how much better it is when people keep their tempers under control. Second principle they said was, don't turn to booze and drugs. When we see our parents reaching for those crutches, we get the idea that it's perfectly all right for us to do so. That when there's a bit of anxiety and stress, we just need to reach for the bottle or a few tablets. The children are great imitators. They said, we'd like our parents to bug us a little bit. Be strict. Show us who's boss. We need to know that we have strong support under us. You know, when you cave in, we get scared. They said, respect your position as parents. Stay on the pedestal. Don't try and dress and talk like your kids. You know, don't try and be down with the kids. Because you just embarrass us and you look ridiculous when you do that. They said, light a candle. Show us the way. Show us the right way that we're to live. That we need to believe in something that's bigger than stronger than ourselves. They said, scare us a little. If you catch us lying or stealing or being cruel, get tough. Let us know that what we did was wrong. Impress upon us the importance of not repeating such behaviour. When we need punishment, give it to us. But let us know that you still love us and that you're there for us. It will make us think twice before we do it again. They said, call our bluff. Make it clear that you mean what you say and don't compromise. Don't be intimidated by our threats to drop out of school or to run away from home. Stand up to us and we will respect you. We don't always want everything we ask. Interesting, isn't it? Don't want everything that we ask. They said, be honest. Tell us the truth no matter what. Be straight about everything. We can take it. Lukewarm answers make us uneasy. And we can smell uncertainty a mile away. And then they said, praise us when we deserve it. Give us a few compliments once in a while. And then it will be much easier for us to accept criticism. Interesting, isn't it? What these juvenile offenders said that they were looking for from their parents. And do you know what those kids are really saying? Actually, they're saying what the Bible says. Because every one of those points is based on Scripture. Whether they realised it or not, what they're saying is, would you parents please parent us in the way that God told you to parent us? Would you do that? Would you be involved in our lives in that way? And you know what? That takes time. It takes a lot of time. You know, there's a strange phenomenon that's happening in our country right now, because not only are families falling apart, but also fathers are withdrawing at an unprecedented rate. And throughout history that's happened. You know, fathers have been torn away from their families by war or by disease or by death. So that's always taken place. But as we move through the 21st century, men are actually choosing to disconnect from their family on a massive scale. And we're actually in danger of becoming a fatherless society. And one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, is because of selfishness. It's the same reason why many marriages just fall apart. We dissolve a marriage because, well, it's no longer working out for us. Or maybe someone more interesting has come along. Or we're having irreconcilable differences. So we'll dispose of this and move on to something else. And as we will dump our wives or our husbands, we dump our kids, as if they don't really matter at all. But what our children need is our involvement. They need the involvement of their mother and their father, and they need quality time. And even the secular culture around us has become aware of the need of something that we've called this quality time as opposed to quantity time. And many parents, especially working fathers, but also where both parents are working to make ends meet, they don't have lots and lots of time to spend with their children. Hence the need for, when they do, making it quality time, doing something worthwhile with their children. It won't be easy. It's not easy to fit that into a busy schedule, but the rewards are there if we do it. But Paul is saying, instruct and train, discipline and counsel, correct and affirm, all within the atmosphere of loving tenderness. And all of that will take time and effort. But here's the third principle that Paul refers to, and it's of the Lord. Instruct and teach them of the Lord. See, we have to bring our children up and raise them, training them and instructing them of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, there needs to be a willingness to openly and freely talk about your faith. It means you have to say to your children, this is who God is. This is who God is to me. And this is what God wants you to do. And this God wants to have a relationship with you. And as Christian parents, we have the God-given role and responsibility to nurture our children in the Lord. And so when parents bring their children to be blessed, it's also important that they are making a commitment. Yes, they are dedicating their child to the Lord, but they are making a commitment themselves, along with the godparents, that they will teach their children about the Lord. So as parents, as godparents, can we commit to three things for our children? Can we commit to three things for Tyrese? Can we commit as a church congregation to? Can we commit first of all to pray for him? And as he gets older, to pray with him. Can we also commit to openly talking about our Christian faith? To share our testimony? To share what God has done in our lives and how he is working with us? Say what he has meant to you. Say where he has been with you. Share your life with him. And then thirdly, can we all aspire to live a godly example ourselves? To be committed ourselves to God. To be committed ourselves to setting as good an example as we can. To be committed to love our children as God loves us. See, being a Christian doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. So we mustn't set ourselves up to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to do things wrong. And our children will need to know that we're not perfect. But we can at least show them that we are striving to follow God and to live in a godly way. And then mistakes can be forgiven. Reconciliation can take place where there's been hurt. See, this is the way of promoting healthy relationships. It's a lot to take on board, isn't it? But you see, Paul says in that scripture, those are the things that are necessary if you're going to avoid your children becoming angry and frustrated and discouraged. Positively bring them up. Have the balance of training and instruction, and be willing to do so in the Lord. Talk about your faith. Point them towards the Lord. And the result will be that they will learn to become dependent on him. Thanks be to God for his word.